Welcome to the Gardening in the Mountains Home Gardening Show with Steve Pettis. Steve is your Henderson County agent with NC State University, here to talk gardening, answer your questions, and help you make your garden grow better. Call the Extension office at 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com to have your gardening questions answered. That's 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com.
Brought to you by A Growing Concern, celebrating 39 years. Bring life and color to your outdoor and indoor space with the professionals at A Growing Concern, Spartanburg Highway.
Welcome to the Gardening in the Mountains radio show and podcast. I'm Steve Pettis, your local county extension agent and host. We're here to talk gardening, answer your garden questions, and help you make your garden grow better. You can always email me at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com or give me a shout at my office at 828-697-4891 during business hours. You can even drop by. I had a gentleman drop by just this morning and talk to me about some landslide issue things he had going on in his yard. So we deal with people in person, on the phone, and via email. And we go out into the community and do lots of events and that sort of thing. Recently, I enjoyed participating in United Community Bank's Tomato Day they have out there on Highway 64 across from Walmart. That was so much fun. It's their Customer Appreciation Day, and what they do is they bring in a ton of tomatoes. And in this case, they were grown by the FFA kids from one of the high schools. And the FFA kids bring in the tomatoes and deal with the customers coming up and talk to them and tell them about the different virtues of the tomatoes, and they give them away as a customer appreciation. And that was a really great event. I always go there, and I table at that event. And at that event, I talk about vegetable gardening. Talk about tomatoes specifically, but I can also talk generally about vegetable gardening. And since we have now passed Mother's Day, which is our traditional planting date, what I would consider our earliest planting date, in Western North Carolina for warm season vegetable crops such as tomatoes and peppers and eggplants and all the other things that we plant in the summertime, I thought I'd spend the show today talking about vegetable gardening. And another reason I want to talk about vegetable gardening is seems like so many people are getting into vegetable gardening, wanting to produce their own fresh food at home. And lots of my friends are vegetable gardening now who really had never done so before. So I just think it's a good time to talk about it. So today I'm going to cover the basics of vegetable gardening. And one of the basics, the most basic thing you need to understand about vegetable gardening is you must have sun. You must have lots of sun. In fact, every hour less than 8 hours of direct sunlight per day is going to reduce the productivity of any garden you plant. Sun equals flowers. Flowers equals fruit. So that is fundamental to picking out a good site for vegetables. Often people have really hot, sunny spots in their landscape, spots that maybe face the southwest, maybe face the sunset. Those are the perfect places for vegetable gardens in Western North Carolina. If we were somewhere else, say in the Piedmont or on the coast, I might suggest you even want a little shade in the evening to kind of cool your plants down before night because of the intensity of the sun there. But here, we need all the sun we can get. Our temperatures tend to be mild by comparison to other places in the country. Plants and insects, for that matter, as I've mentioned before on the show multiple times, are basically chemical factories, and those chemical factories are fueled by heat. You probably remember taking a chemistry class. What was the thing that you did when you wanted to do a chemical reaction? Oftentimes in the lab, you would apply a Bunsen burner to your glass beaker or whatever you had there, because often chemical reactions speed up when heated up. So same is true for the chemical reactions that happen in plants. Plants are chemical factories. They're photosynthetic, so that means they're solar-powered chemical factories, literally. And what a plant does basically is It combines nutrients that it absorbs from the soil. Those nutrients are diluted in the water that roots absorb out of the soil. They enter the plant. At the same time, the plant is photosynthesizing in its leaves, creating carbohydrates and starches, which become the food for biochemical processes. So you take the nutrients out of the ground, add it to the photosynthetic production of the plant, so the carbs and starches and all the other fuels, and that fuels the plant cell growth and production of flowers and subsequently fruit. So when you think of plants, think of them as a holistic organism. Think of them as an organism that has needs, it has desires, if you even wanted to go that far. Plants will tell you what they need in their own way. Oftentimes they will look certain ways. And if you become a frequent gardener, you will learn to recognize the things that plants need. And so what do plants need, specifically vegetables? Well, they need three things. They need sun, which we've already talked about. The next thing they need is ample water. As you know, we're in a drought right now, so if it's not going to do much good to go out and plant a bunch of tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants, and squashes, and beans, and that sort of thing in your garden, and if you don't water them, because you need to water. It's too dry for these plants to thrive. They may not totally die, which I think they will. We're that dry right now. But even if they didn't die, they just wouldn't be productive. And that's another additional point about I mentioned the sun earlier. If plants can grow, a tomato plant can grow in the shade, it's just not going to produce any fruit. So, you know, we need to site these plants in the proper places so they maximize the amount of production that they do for us, thereby justifying the amount of work that it takes to put into a vegetable garden. Because a vegetable garden does require some work. It's not as hard to work as most people make it out to be. It can be a lot of fun. And there are methods we can use to reduce the workload we have in the vegetable garden. So I'll talk about that. So we talked about two things that plants need. They need sun and they need water. The other thing they need is nutrients. And nutrients come from generally the soil. And those nutrients are either byproducts of the breakdown of, you know, our bedrock here, granitic bedrock. We're basically sitting on the remnants of granite mountains here in western North Carolina. So a lot of our soil nutrients are based from that. That was the parent material for our soils, you know, your clays and your silts and your sands and stuff that mostly is decomposed rock. And that breaks down further into elements, which then plants can take up. But the other portion of the materials that plants take up through the roots, which contain nutrients, comes from organic matter. So we have two sources of nutrients in the soil. We have the basic parent material, which is decomposing all the time and releasing nutrients. So that's your mineral component of your soil. The other part is the organic component of soil. And actually, when we mention soil is the mix of the inorganic parent material and the organic material that creates soil. Soil is where plants grow. That's a great definition for soil. Anybody ever ask you, if anybody ever says the word dirt, you slap them in the head, because it's not dirt. My professor in college used to say, dirt's what you get under your fingernails. Soil is what you grow plants in. So we want to use the proper phraseology when we're talking about gardening things, because it is important to use the right words. And soil is the word we prefer to use for the medium in which we grow plants. Now, you do know that there are man-made soils, potting soils and things like that. We're going to exclude those for this conversation just because they are what they are. They're basically purely organic matter, which is what plants need. Carbon is one of the big elements that plants need to create plant material. There are carbon-based life forms, after all, so they take in carbon through the roots when decomposing organic matter releases that carbon in elemental form, and then the plant uses that as like kind of the bedrock, the structural component of plant cells and physiological systems in the plant. So we're thinking about plants, vegetables, and specifically about a holistic organism. It needs sun, it needs nutrients, and it needs water. So we mentioned those three things. So if you got those three things in ample supply, you can be an amazing vegetable gardener. So when we talk about vegetables, we talk about cool season vegetables versus warm season vegetables. I'm going to throw out the cool season vegetables for today's discussion just because we're out of that time of the year or reaching the end of that. So that would have been your greens and things that you planted early in the spring. Those will be burning up in the heat of the sun pretty soon. So we're going to focus on warm season vegetables. And when we talk about warm season vegetables, we're talking about things like tomatoes and peppers and all of those wonderful summer veggies that we end up with. So our planting time in Western North Carolina is generally after Mother's Day for our warm season crops. When we think about these crops, we can think about them, or do we want to plant them from seed, or do we want to plant them from a living plant, a transplant? So the way to think about that is there are some plants that will immediately germinate and start to grow. So your squashes, cucumbers, beans of all sorts, and peas, and all of those beets, and all of those things you plant from a seed because it's just so much easier. You don't want to plant them in a pot and then have to transplant them. However, tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, and other plants, they are usually planted as transplants. So you buy or grow your own. Growing your own is a whole other show, which if you go back into February, I do believe I talked about that some, because February is kind of the time when we plant our vegetable seedlings indoors with the idea of planting them in the future, which is this time of year. So some of the things you're going to plant, you can plant from transplants this kind of time of year, artichokes. If you've never grown an artichoke, it's a cool plant. It's kind of a shrubby plant, and the artichoke is the tuber, the root system of the plant, and they're really good. They're potato-like, and a good artichoke can produce a ton of really great tubers for you to eat and harvest. You can store them. They're very storable for you in your if you put them in a cool, dry place. So artichokes are great. You plant them from transplants. Other things you transplant this time of year would be your tomatoes, your peppers, your eggplants. You can even plant kohlrabi this time of year. You can plant leeks this time of year from transplants. Now, some people will do some of their melons and squashes and things from transplants. It's not my favorite thing to do just because it's hard. It's a lot easier just to stick a seed in the ground and let it grow than to try to spend weeks and weeks growing a vegetable indoors that you must water every day, et cetera. And when we get back from this break, I'm going to talk more about warm season vegetable gardening here on the Gardening in the Mountains radio show and podcast.
This is Duke from a Growing Concern Nursery and Garden Center, and we're proud to be celebrating 40 years rooted in this community, beautifying landscapes since 1986. Spring is upon us, and our inventory is arriving daily. Flowering trees like dogwoods, redbuds, crabapples, plums, serviceberry, fringe trees, magnolias, and more. Favorite shrubs of the region like azaleas, rhododendron, mountain laurel, pyrus, viburnum, just to name a few. So come on into Hendersonville's oldest garden center, a Growing Concern on Spartanburg Highway, celebrating 40 years.
At the Local Table Restaurant, fresh and local isn't a trend, it's the foundation. Many of the seasonal ingredients you'll enjoy are grown right at Stump Farms, bringing true farm-to-table flavor straight to your plate. From breakfast served all day to creative lunches and new light bites in the evening, everything is made from scratch and thoughtfully prepared. The Local Table is a place to gather with friends and family. Discover what's happening now and what's coming next at thelocaltablehendo.com.
At Raymond's Garden Center, if we don't have it, then you probably don't need it. Perennials, annuals, ground covers, grasses, natives, shrubs, trees, pottery, garden gifts, and more.
There's something for everyone at Raymond's. Come see us at 1320 Canoga Road.
Welcome back to the Gardening in the Mountains radio show and podcast. I'm Steve Pettis, your local county extension agent and host. We're to talk gardening, answer your gardening questions, and help you make your garden grow better. Today we're talking about vegetable gardening, and we're going to get right back into it because I have a lot to talk about. I was talking about plants you can start from transplants versus seed. And so we've already mentioned the everybody's favorites, which is tomatoes and peppers. Those can be transplants, eggplants. But what I will say about eggplants is there is an insect that will invariably eat your eggplant completely up if you don't put pesticides on it. I'm sorry. You can't grow an eggplant organically in Western North Carolina because the eggplant flea beetle will eat that thing up. So there are some biorational pesticides that you can use. I'm going to talk about those later. I'm not going to get into it now. But just be advised, if you plant eggplants and you want to end up with some eggplants, you need to treat the leaves with an insecticide to keep the flea beetles from eating them up. So other plants we plant from transplants. So these are these are plants that we go to the store and buy generally from feeding seeds and that sort of thing. You can do okra from transplants, but you can also do it from seeds. So some of these are kind of back and forth. It's a little late for onions and garlic right now. I mean, you can try it, but they're going to end up not maturing until much later, and it'll probably be too cold by the time they mature. A lot of your herbs you're going to plant as transplants, so parsley and that sort of thing. Peppers, of course. And I'm going to talk in a minute about all the different zillions of varieties of tomatoes and peppers that are out there. You can plant your potatoes and sweet potatoes this time of year from transplants. Squash sometimes is grown as a transplant. And finally, tomatoes are grown from a transplant. So those are all of the plants, or not all of them, but many of the plants that you might want to grow in your garden that you would actually grow from transplants. So these are ones that you might grow yourself or buy from a store, plants that would be already a little plant that you stick in the ground. Now, there's much more that you could actually plant from seeds this time of year, which is really cool. So a lot of your herbs you could plant from seeds, like basil and things like that. All of your beans, so lima beans, bush beans, pole beans, snap beans, all of those things can be planted from seed right now. And the good thing about beans is they're super cheap. And you get a little bag of 25, 30 seeds. If you're doing a small garden, if you do a larger garden, you can certainly buy many, many, many more seeds at one time. Stick those things in the ground, give them some water, and within days they'll start popping up. And they're really only vulnerable when they're first coming up. If you got pesky crows in your neighborhood, they can fly in and pick those little seedlings out of the ground. They'll do the same thing with corn, which can also be planted from seed right now. Sweet corn is what most people choose to grow. And I tell you what, if you have crows in your neighborhood, those things love the little 2-inch tall sweet corn plants that just popping up out of the ground. They'll walk down that row and pull them up out of the ground and eat the little seed off the end of the root and destroy your whole crop. I've seen them do it before. Other things you can do from seed this time of year are things like, I mentioned some other herbs like cilantro. We mentioned parsley, basil, and cilantro can all be done from seeds this time of year. You can even plant collard greens this time of year from seed. And they'll jump right up and start growing, and you can have your... So I cooked some... I got some greens this weekend from one of the vendors at... is from Gary and Abigail that own Beautiful Farms. They're one of the big vegetable vendors at the Henderson County or Hendersonville Farmers Market down on Maple Street. And they gave me a big old sack of greens, and I took those home, and they were a mix of kale and collards. And so what you do with those is you wash them, and then you take and fold them in half and then grab the vein. They have a big, thick vein. You don't want to try to eat that. It's tough. And you just rip it, and it leaves you two halves of the leaf, and then you tear that into shreds. And I did that with this big, giant pile. It was a pile literally 8 inches tall in a frying pan. Put a bunch of olive oil in the bottom of the pan and turn the pan on low. Put a lid on top, which wasn't pressing. It was like just sitting on top of the leaves. There were so many leaves. But eventually, as those things started sweating out, those leaves started wilting. The whole giant pile ended up being maybe a little inch and a half thick layer of wilted green leaves. So I just kept stir frying those with that olive oil. Threw in some seasoning, salt and pepper, and a couple other things, and ended up with some really wonderful, nutritious greens. That's my favorite way to cook greens. I mean, I like boiled greens and, like collards and turnips and things like that, but I don't feel like spending all that time to cook them. I'd rather just quickly saute greens in a pan. All right, that's aside is over. This time of year, you can also plant from seed. You can do kohlrabi and leeks from seed. Oh, all of your melons and cantaloupes and squash and that sort of thing. So the things in the family that include melons, that's the cucurbits. So that's also cucumbers. You know, a cucumber is really just a little watermelon, if you've ever thought about it. Imagine if a cucumber was really sweet, it would taste just like a watermelon. Or if you've ever gotten the unsweet part of an unripe a watermelon, it tastes like a cucumber, really. And they're just, one's just a larger version of the other. Those you can plant from seeds right now. And finally, the last few things you want to plant from seed this time of year, you can do parsnips. Some people even grow some peanuts, but I wouldn't suggest it for here. Peas of all different kinds, field peas, southern peas, white northern peas, all of those things are really great to them from seed this time of year. Pumpkins, if you want to do pumpkins for, say, grandkids, those are great. I have a friend that he grows pumpkins every year, and when they get to be about the size of a softball, he takes his knife and writes his grandkids' names in the side. Just makes a cut. A slice, doesn't whittle out their names, just slices the names in there. And then as the pumpkin grows, their name grows and stretches out and those letters open up. And so you end up with these pumpkins with the kids' names on them, which is, I thought was a really great idea. So pumpkins you can do from seed this time of year. So short-lived things like spinach, you can just right now throw some spinach seed in your garden, anywhere that you got open soil. So all around your tomatoes, all around your peppers, you can grow leafy greens like spinach and leaf lettuce. And then within a few weeks, they'll be ready to harvest before it gets too hot. And they'll do a lot of things. They'll help control weeds. And then eventually they can use them as compost in the garden when you plow them into the ground. Okay, so I don't have but a few minutes left. Let's talk about tomatoes specifically. There are so many great varieties of tomatoes. However, there is a wonderful, wonderful series of tomato hybrids that were created right here in Henderson County by Randy Gardner, world-famous tomato breeder. And he is so awesome that he created these tomato varieties that grow right here in Western North Carolina. So these are the ones I want you to look for. Mountain Fresh. So all of these are going to have the word mountain in them. Mountain Fresh is determinate, meaning it's not a, doesn't grow like a vine. It grows up to, maybe 4 feet tall and then stops growing and then just grows wider. It's kind of where it all started. And the cool thing about Mountain Fresh is that it is a medium-sized slicer. So my problem with most of those big slicing tomatoes is they're too big. You know, I can only eat about half of one of those giant tomatoes, and then the next day that tomato may not be as great the next day. So, and all of these mountain varieties, not only are they sized to be a little more user-friendly, they're also he bred really great flavor into them. So if you really like a nice, robust tomato flavor, these mountain varieties that Dr. Randy Gardner, who worked at the Mills River Research Station for years, and he is still breeding tomatoes to this very day, way up into his 80s. Look for the mountain series of tomatoes in your favorite vendor. I know that Gary and Abby with Beautiful Farms, who sell on Maple Street during the Hendersonville Farmers Market, have Mountain Fresh because we bought some this weekend from them. Mountain Magic is another really good one. They call this one cocktail-sized tomatoes. So this is like not a cherry tomato, but not a slicer. It's kind of in the middle. And those are really good. And they're about the size of a racquetball. perfectly round and smooth. They have great disease resistance. They last a long time after you pick them. They don't just immediately start rotting on your kitchen counter. Mountain Merit is another one. Mountain Sunrise, Mountain Vineyard, Mountain Heritage. And Mountain Heritage is a hybrid heirloom variety. It has dark, purple-toned, old-fashioned taste of a Cherokee purple. So Mountain Heritage is Randy Gardner's, quote-unquote, improved Cherokee purple. And for those of you who don't know, Cherokee purple was named by the Tomato Man, Craig Lahuili, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's here in the county. Look him up online. He's got books. He does talks and things locally. He's kind of the tomato guru here locally, in the state, really. So check him out, Craig Lahuili, the Tomato Man. And with that, I'll wrap it up. I hope you get your vegetable garden planted ASAP. Earlier you get it planted, the earlier you're going to start getting some fruits. Take care of it. Fertilize it frequently. Use Miracle-Gro. It's the easiest way to do it. Go out there once a week, hose it down with some Miracle-Gro out of a Miracle-Gro hosing applicator, and you'll have the most impressive vegetable garden in your neighborhood. Thanks for listening. I hope you all have a great weekend and happy gardening, everyone.
This has been Gardening in the Mountains with Steve Pettis. Steve is your Henderson County agent with NC State University. If you'd like to ask Steve a question, call the Henderson County Extension Office at 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com. That's 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com. To listen to this show again or hear past episodes, go to WTZQ.com. Click on the Features tab and scroll down to Gardening in the Mountains.
Brought to you by A Growing Concern, celebrating 39 years. Bring life and color to your outdoor and indoor space with the professionals at A Growing Concern, Spartanburg Highway.